Lenten anthems are always so poignant. That was beautiful. Thank you, choir. Please join me for the reading of the Old Testament, Psalm 32, as printed in your bulletin. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters will not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for the wonderful, powerful word that you have given to us. And Father, as we look to your word this morning, we ask that you open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit to hear what it is you have to say to us, that we might go forth eager to serve you in all areas of our lives. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is John 10, 1 to 10, and also verses 22 through 30. Please stand in honor of God's word. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story is told of a monastery in Portugal. Perched high on a 3,000-foot cliff and accessible only by a terrifying ride in a swaying basket. The basket is pulled by a single rope by several strong men. Perspiring under the strain of the fully loaded basket. One American tourist who visited the site got nervous halfway up the cliff when he noticed that the rope was old and frayed. Hoping to relieve his fear, he asked, "How often do you change the rope?" The monk in charge replied, "Whenever it breaks." In our world today, perhaps at times we feel like that American tourist who felt very insecure, like he was hanging onto a rope about to break. Did you ever stop to reflect how much time and energy and money is spent on security? Since 9/11, billions of dollars are spent for homeland security in airports, borders, waterways, bridges. But even beyond that, department stores, supermarkets, restaurants, workplaces, many have cameras everywhere around, the black balls on the ceiling watching every move to prevent anyone from snatching something. We have secured our homes, our cars, our computers. So amidst all of this time and energy and money spent in an effort to make us feel safe, to bar off intruders and thieves, how secure do you feel? Jesus describes himself in this passage of Scripture as the gate. In the King James Version, it's the door, which I kind of like the door better than the gate translation. So I'm going to be talking about the door, but it's the same passage, and one translates at the gate, the other one the door. And he says that the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And as the door, Jesus gives us protection. This passage from John's Gospel takes place at the Feast of Dedication. It was a Jewish celebration commemorating the cleansing of the temple under Judas Maccabeus in 165 BC. Prior to that time, a Syrian king reigned from 175 to 164 BC. He was a lover of all Greek things. His goal was to eliminate Jewish religion once and for all, and to introduce Greek ways and thoughts, Greek gods and religion into Palestine. In 170 BC, he attacked Jerusalem. Many Jews perished. Some were sold in slavery. Money was stolen from the temple treasury. It was a capital offense to possess a copy of the law or to circumcise a child. The temple courts were profaned. The temple chambers were turned into brothels. The great altar of burnt offering was turned into an altar to Zeus, offering swine flesh to pagan gods. In 164 BC, the struggle for freedom was won, and the festival of dedication was instituted to commemorate the purification of the temple. It is also known as perhaps a more familiar name to us, the Jewish celebration of the lights in the temple and in every Jewish home as Hanukkah. It was during that festival of lights that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade, which was a roofed walkway. And some of the Jews are trying to trap him. They gather around and they ask him the question, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Amidst this festival of lights, Jesus certainly shed some light on that question. Jesus answered that he did tell them, but they didn't believe. The miracles speak for themselves, but they didn't believe because they are not his sheep. And in these next verses, amidst the flickering lights celebrating an end to a reign of terror that swept through Palestine into Jerusalem, Jesus tells them something very important about security. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Our security lies in the fact that we are Jesus' sheep. And in this passage, he talks about being the door. So let's look at this image of Jesus being the door into the sheepfold. Jesus as the door provides access, the only door to provide access into God's kingdom. One day, George Adam Smith, the Englishman who traveled extensively in the Middle East, came across a sheepfold, and he said to the shepherd, "That is where they go at night." "Yes," said the shepherd, "and when they are in there, they are perfectly safe." "But there's no door," said the Englishman. "I am the door," replied the shepherd. Sir George looked at him and asked, "What do you mean by the door?" And the shepherd answered, "When the light has gone out and all the sheep are inside, I lie in that open space, and no sheep ever goes out but across my body, and no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body. I am the door." When Jesus said he is the door of the sheep, he meant that the fold has only one entrance. Life has one source. Spiritual nourishment is obtained one way. Heaven can be entered through one entrance. And the single means of access to all of life is through Jesus. Romans 5:2 says, "Through whom also we have obtained access by faith to this grace in which we stand." And Ephesians 2:18 tells us, "For through him we have both access in one spirit to the Father." Jesus is the door, and he is the one we go through to eternal life. He is the one we go through to the Father. He is the one that opens up a whole new life to us. Jesus as the door also provides protection and security. Some years ago on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole behind his house. In a hurry to dive into the cool water, he ran out the back door, leaving behind shoes, socks, and his shirt, and he flew into the water, not realizing that he swam toward the middle of the lake. An alligator was swimming toward the shore. His mother was in the house looking out the window, and she catches that sight of this alligator approaching her son. And so she runs out, and in utter fear, she begins yelling and yelling until he hears his mother and begins to turn around and swim to her. But it was too late. Just as he reached for her, the alligator reached him. From the dock, the mother grabbed her little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. That began an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was much too passionate to let go. A farmer happened to drive by. He heard her screams. He raced from his truck. He took aim and shot the alligator. And remarkably, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal. And on his arms were deep scratches where his mother's fingernails clung into his flesh in her effort to hang on to the son that she loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he would show him his scars. The boy lifted his pant legs, and then with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms, too. I have them because my mom wouldn't let go." Jesus's scars from the cross of Calvary are proof of his incredible love for you and me. He paid it all there, and he wouldn't let go. At all cost, he wouldn't let go. And he has given us great assurance that no matter what bruises and battles, scars and fears and terror that we face in this life, we are unsnatchable. We are eternally secure in his arms. Satan wants to make us unraveled. You know, we watched a war room a couple weeks ago here at the church. Some of you were here for that movie. And you know, Satan really wants to do us in. He wants to play with our minds. He wants us to feel that he can snatch us. But Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of my hands. No one can snatch us out of Jesus' hands. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Well, how do we respond to this? First, we open the door of our hearts to Jesus. That's the most important thing any of us ever decide in this life, is to open our heart to Jesus. There's that wonderful picture, and maybe some of you even have it in your home. A lot of times it's in churches, of Jesus knocking on the door. Remember that picture? Big door, and he's standing outside knocking. And it's supposed to represent the passage from Revelation about how he knocks on the door of our hearts. But there's an interesting part of that picture. There's no doorknob on the outside of the door. And it was painted that way for a reason. Because Jesus isn't going to push open the door. He's waiting for us to open the door on the other side and welcome him into our lives. It's our choice to welcome him in. And when we open our hearts, the door of our hearts to Jesus, the second thing we have to do is trust Jesus to hold on to us and to protect us. And that's what he wants to do, to hold on to us, to protect us, to make us ever aware that no one, nothing, can snatch us out of his hands. He wants to give us a security in our lives that no fine-tuned security system could ever give us. But when all things go crazy in the world, he's holding on to us, and we're secure. William Venable writes, if we get up in the morning and start the day by letting our minds wander, perhaps turning on the radio or television and listen to whatever happens to be on, and we allow random thoughts to come into our minds that may cause depression, resentment, or lust, then we're not making use of the protection that Jesus offers us. We're opening ourselves up to the flesh, the world, and the devil without having Jesus interpose to maintain the separation between our lives and those things. But if, on the other hand, we get up in the morning and immediately begin to praise God and to pray and to read his word, to focus our thoughts on the positive things of God's will, then we are making use of the protection that Jesus as the door offers us. He wants to be the one that separates us from that wolf that wants to come in and steal us, steal our joy, who wants to steal life from us. He's the door. But we have to get up and praise him and turn to his word and seek him rather than the things of the world. Keith and Kristen Getty have written that wonderful hymn that we're going to sing in Christ Alone in just a few moments. And after they wrote that song, a soldier wrote to them and told them about how he watched seeing soldiers die all around him. And he said, the picture of Christ standing in victory, that image of our sin's grip being broken because of Christ, and where he says, I am his and he is mine. In those words, in that song that they wrote, he said how that touched him, drew him close to the Lord. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Well, let's go back to that story of that threadbare rope going up to the monastery. See, we do not need to go through life as though we are holding on to a bare thread rope. We are held in the loving arms of Jesus, who opens the door to our Heavenly Father, who opens the door to eternal life, who opens the door to the riches of heaven, who opens the door to abundant life here and now until we face him in heaven. He opens the door. And he also is standing at that door to protect us, to assure us that we're secure in him, no matter what comes before us in life. We have his security. He's holding on to us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you that we are secure in your hands. And we thank you that you are the door that opens the way to heaven, the only door that anyone can go through to know the riches of heaven. You're the only door, Lord, that grants to us wonderful, incredible, abundant life here and now. And you are the door that protects us from the evil on the outside. And you assure us, because of that, we are secure in your hands. Help us, Lord, amidst the craziness of the world in which we are living in, the threat of terror, all of the uncertainty of tomorrow, help us to know that we have certainty in you. And you are the one who holds us and never lets us go. We thank you that you promise us that in your word, that no one can snatch them out of my hand. Help us, Lord, to leave this place rejoicing that we are eternally secure in you. For we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And as we come to sing this hymn, In Christ Alone, when we get to verse 4, I'm going to ask that you especially sing those words rather loudly. Those are powerful words, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme or plan can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here, in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Let us sing.